Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and it's wonderful that you're joining with us as we worship God today. I know this must be a strange experience for you week by week listening to the service at home, but it's also a very strange experience for me recording the service each week. As you probably know, I video the service, and a lot of people watch it on the internet, and what follows here is the audio of that service so that you can listen and take part even if you don't have internet. Because of the COVID restrictions, we haven't been sending out CDs, so it is great that you're able to listen in this way. Today our service is based around our church building. You may remember a couple of years ago I did a little series on the various aspects of the church building. I've condensed that into one service today, and we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12, with the theme of living stones built into a spiritual home. We have a couple of people from the congregation taking part. The Bible is going to be read by Sandra Carling, and the Lord's Prayer is led by William Wilson. So let us worship God together today. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining with us today as we worship God. And no matter where you happen to be, we pray that the Holy Spirit will join us together in fellowship with each other, and that we will glorify God together. Today I'm going to be thinking about all the various different parts of our church building. I know normally we think of the church as being the people, but today we're going to concentrate on the building because that's somewhere that we haven't been able to gather together for a while. And as we look at those different parts together, we're going to see what God can teach us and what he can say to us in our situation. So let's bow before him in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is not confined by buildings, but that you are a God who is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And therefore today, Lord, we come to you and we bring our prayers asking that you would unite us as brothers and sisters together in the faith. Help us, Lord, as we look to your word, that you would speak clearly to us. Build us up in our faith, we pray, and may we know your encouragement and your strength and your help. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen."
A few years ago, I did a little series during the summer looking at the different parts of our church building. The idea was that we looked at each part, taking a week at a time, and we drew some spiritual lessons from the various things that we see. Now, during lockdown, we haven't been able to come into the building. I've been here week by week, and as I look around the church building, normally I see your faces and I see the people, the church. But because I'm here on my own week by week, all I see is the various things around me, the windows, the doors, the pulpit, and all the various things. I don't see people anymore because the pews are simply empty. So it got me thinking that many of you haven't actually ever been inside our church building before. And for some of you, it's been a long time since you've been able to come in. And so maybe we're forgetting about some of the things that are there to help us and to aid us in our worship. So today I'm simply going to revisit some of those parts of our building, and hopefully God will speak to us through them. Now, at the very start, I've got to say, and I cannot emphasize this enough, the building is not the church. We are the church, the people. So wherever you happen to be today, wherever you are worshiping today, you are the church of Jesus Christ. You and I are the body, the different parts of that body built together to serve Jesus wherever we happen to be. So today I'm talking about the building that normally the church meets in. And as we look at that building, hopefully God will speak to us today. I want us to begin outside the building with the one thing that you can see from a great distance, and that is the tower at the front of our church building. And that tower, as you can see from the photographs, is, I suppose, designed as two hands that are pointing up to God in prayer. And it's a sign for us as a church to remember that our power and our strength comes from the Lord God Almighty. Doesn't come from us and the numbers of people that are meeting or the programs that we can plan or the things that we can do. Our strength and our witness and our hope comes from God alone. And those two hands pointing up to God in prayer remind us that everything comes from God. It reminds us of our reliance upon God. So whenever we drive up to the church or walk up to the church, or maybe you go past the church, you see the praying hands and you're reminded of your need of God and your reliance upon him. Terry Laverty has told this story, and I've told it a few times as well. Terry is a keen fisherman, and whenever he lived in Port Stewart, he used to go out in the boat to fish in the bay. And he used to tell me that the best place to fish out in the bay was to get the cross on top of the Dominican College and to line it up with the tower on Burnside. And whenever you had those two things in line, your boat would be in the proper place to fish and you would get a good catch. Now, whenever Terry told that story, he didn't realize that our tower was the praying hands. But basically what he was saying in a spiritual way was, if you can line up the cross with prayer, then you are in a good place to fish. And Jesus told us to be fishers of men, to go out and to tell others the good news. And so wherever our circumstances, wherever you happen to be today, if you can line up the cross of Jesus Christ with prayer in your life, then you will be in a position to catch fish, to become fishers of men, and to share the good news with others, and to see God bring in that harvest of fish, and to see God add to the number of believers each day in the work that he's doing. So if I can encourage you today to take a moment to pray and to look to the cross and to ask for God's salvation in a daily basis. Next thing, whenever you come into our church, that you see is the burning bush. The burning bush is everywhere around our church. And of course, being a Presbyterian church, you'll find the burning bush on many things that are Presbyterian. I can see it today on the window to my right. I can see it out in the vestibule through the windows on plaques on the wall. It's also behind me on the pulpit as well. And if you look into the hymn books that you would normally have in the pews, again, the burning bush is there. And there's a little inscription below the burning bush which says, Arden sed verens, which means burning but flourishing. And of course, the burning bush takes us back to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where God appeared to Moses in the midst of a burning bush. And Moses saw that the bush was burning, but he saw that it wasn't being consumed. And so he went over to investigate to see what was happening. And God told him to take off his shoes because the place that he was standing was holy ground. And God spoke to him. And God gave him the plan that he was going to go and lead his people out of captivity in Egypt and to freedom and to take them to the promised land.
And the burning bush is there as a symbol of the Presbyterian Church because we look to God to listen to what he has to say to us through his word. And we hear what he has to say and then we act upon it. We know that whenever we open up God's word, that we're standing on holy ground and we're listening to what God has to say to us. And so the burning bush is there to remind us that God still speaks today to each one of us through his words, if only we will go and investigate and listen to him. And then that inscription on the burning bush, that it is burning but flourishing. Of course, whenever something burns, it should be destroyed. It should eventually burn out because everything that's good about it is being destroyed. But we realize that whenever we are under pressure for God, whenever we are being burnt for him, that it's in those times that we flourish. It's in the difficult times and the troubling times that we grow and we're nurtured in God. And so we need to remember, of course, that during this lockdown period, as we have felt under pressure and we have felt that everything can be against us at times, sometimes those are the times whenever God truly speaks to us and draws us deeper into his presence and enables us to rely upon him more and builds us up in the faith. So the burning bush is here to remind us that every time we look at it, that God speaks to us. And through times of testing, God is with us to help us. The window to my left in church is a picture of a lampstand. And it's the seven-branched lampstand. And below that lampstand, it says, Lambdes Multi Una Lux, which tells us the message that there are many lamps, but only one light. And this lampstand is a depiction of the lampstand that we have in the temple, which is in the holy place just before you go into the Holy of Holies. And there it's a flame that burns continually and it represents God's presence with the people of Israel. The light, of course, is God is the light of the world. He is the one who comes into the darkness and lights up this world, Jesus Christ coming. And it reminds us as well in Revelation, there is a lampstand there. There are the seven lampstands and Jesus walks among the lampstands and he is ready to extinguish any of those lampstands that are not being faithful. And the lampstands represent the churches. And we are the church of Jesus Christ called to be a light in a world of darkness, to be a witness. And although there are lots of different churches, each shining their lights in this world, even in this town, there is but one light that is emitted from the lampstands. And that light is the light of God, Jesus Christ. We're all called to witness for Jesus. And so in a world where it is very obviously dark at times, where there's very obviously evil around us, we are to be the light that shines out for others to see. We're to take the word of God out with us into the world. We're to tell others how great Jesus is and the difference that he's made in our lives. We're to shine brightly. You don't take a lump and hide it under a bowl, but you set it up high for others to see. And this building that I'm standing in today is built on a hill. You can see this building from quite a distance. From within Port Stewart, it's not so easy to see at times, but if you're over in Castle Rock and you look across to Port Stewart, this building is obvious. It's up on the hill. It's clear for everyone to see. And that's the way our witness should be as well, that our witness should be clear, not just for those around us, but even for those further away as well. That as people look at our lives and see the way that we're living, they realize that God is the light of the world, that Jesus Christ has come to bring light. And that we shine that light out each and every day in the way that we live for him. Now, there is another stained glass window in Burnside, which many of you don't get an opportunity to look at too often. But I have to say that it is my favorite part of the whole church building in Burnside. It's the window that is directly in front of me as I speak to you today. It's the window that is directly in front of the pulpit any particular Sunday that I am standing at and preaching to the congregation. You all sit with your backs to it, so you don't get to see it. But I, if I lift my head at all, I'm looking straight at that window, and I can see it, and I can see clearly what it is and what is in it. And it's actually a window, as you can see, made of many different windows. There are 17 different parts to the window. And it used to be I looked at that window and thought it was a nice window. And I wondered to myself at times, I wonder, does it represent the sea and the sand of a seaside town, where you've got the blue sea and then you've got the sand up at the top? And I wondered if that was what it was there to represent. And then one day I was given a program by Doreen of the opening of our church building. And there it was explained, the reasoning behind the window. And since then, I look at this window every single Sunday. And I've looked at this window every week as I have stood in front of this camera and prepared these online Burnside at Home services as well. Because the window represents the darkness of the world. And then as it goes higher, the darkness becomes lighter and brighter. And it's the message of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit coming and taking the dark things of this world and making them clear, making them bright, making them understandable. And the Holy Spirit ministers in each one of our lives and helps us understand the world that we're living in, helps us understand God's word, helps us understand the way that God would want us to live our lives. And so Sunday by Sunday, as I stand and I look out, and week by week in these services as I look out, I see the darkness, and I am comforted by the fact that the Holy Spirit is able to take the darkness and to make it clear to everyone who is listening. So sometimes I'm preaching and I think to myself, I'm not sure if I'm explaining this well enough. I'm not sure if I'm making this clear. I'm not sure if I'm getting my points in the right order here. A little glimpse up at that window reminds me that the Holy Spirit is at work, and he's at work today in each one of your homes, wherever you happen to be. The Holy Spirit is at work now, taking the word of God and making it clear, bringing light into darkness in your mind and in your life to help you understand what God wants you to know. And so, whenever we get back into this building again and we are gathered together for worship, I would encourage every single one of you that whenever you stand up to leave the building, lift your eyes up and look at that window and just think to yourself as you're going out in below it and out into the world, just think of the dark world that you're going out into and how the Holy Spirit is going to brighten that world, is going to bring light into that world and enable you to witness for him and to tell others about him, changing darkness into light. There's another unique little feature about our church, and that is the door as you come in from outside. Now there's a little plaque on that door which gives you instructions. But for many years, there were no instructions on that door as to how to open it. Now, we have sliding doors on our church building. The reason for that is we're sitting on a hill in Port Stewart. The wind comes in off the sea, and if you had any sort of swing door, the wind would just grab that door and slam it and bang it. And it would never be done sort of slipping out of people's hands and banging. So we've got sliding doors so that the wind can't disrupt them. But that means that if you arrive late to church and the doors have already been pushed closed, then you can stand and pull and push and pull and push and nothing will happen. You cannot get that door to open. And for many years, anyone coming late didn't realize to slide the door. So we had to get a little plaque made and put it on the door and say slide to open so that now it's obvious. And of course, the door and opening the door reminds me in Revelation of Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open it, I will come in and eat with him." And the idea is that God comes to our lives and he presents the good news of the gospel, and then he comes and knocks on that door, and we're to open that door. There is but one way to open the door. There is but one way that Jesus Christ will come into our lives, that we have salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's one way to get to the Father, and that is through Jesus. "I am the way," Jesus said, "the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so whenever we hear the good news of the gospel, whenever we read about God and his word, we then have that choice to make. Are we going to open up the door of our heart, welcome him in to change our lives, to take away our sin and to make us new? And we can stand and we can do all sorts of things to try and come to the Father. We can push and pull as hard as we want, trying to do things our own way. But unless we open up the door and say, "Jesus Christ, I'm trusting in you. Jesus Christ, come and take away my sin. Jesus Christ, you are the only way to the Heavenly Father," then all of our efforts will be in vain. So we need to make sure that we open the door the right way, that we open the right door to Jesus Christ coming into our lives and changing us completely, so that he can come and transform us and make us new.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today, as we worship, we want to give thanks to God for the continued generosity of you, his people, and we want to dedicate your offerings to him and ask that he would bless us as a congregation. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to give to you in our worship. And we ask now, Lord, that you would accept these, our offerings, and use them for your kingdom. Lord, these are strange days that we are living in and strange circumstances that we are coming before you in. And so, Lord, we ask that you would accept all that we give and that your blessing would be upon it and that it would be used for your kingdom. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come bringing the needs of others to you in prayer, we come to you because we acknowledge that you are the Almighty, the Everlasting, the one who is able to answer our prayers. And so, Lord, we come now pleading with you to show us mercy and that your grace would be upon us. We recognize, Lord, that we are a people who need to confess our sin before you. We need your forgiveness more than ever.
And we pray, Lord, for that for as individuals. We pray for it as a congregation of your church. We pray for it, Lord, as a community and a nation. We pray that you would forgive us for our sins. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for the way that we have turned against your will. We pray, Lord, for the way that you would forgive us for our disobedience to you. Help us now and show us your mercy. We pray, Lord, for the healing of our land. And as we have come through this COVID-19 and as many have lost their lives, we pray, Lord, for those families who are suffering at this time, with those who are still recovering, and those, Lord, who have lost their lives. We pray that you would bring comfort and help. We pray, Lord, for each person who has been affected in many different ways, not just by the virus, but because of lockdown and because of everything that is connected with the virus. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all those who are struggling and suffering this day. We think, Lord, of those who are struggling with health matters. We think, Lord, of those who are struggling with mental health issues. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling economically and with business and with jobs. There are so many different ways, Lord, that we have all been affected. And we come to you and we seek you this day. And we ask, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon us. And that we would know your strength and your help. Remember, Lord, those who are ill today from among our own congregation who we know. And we pray that you would be with them and help them. We pray, Lord, for those who have been bereaved, that you would strengthen them and comfort them in these days. And so, Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would be with us both now and forevermore. Amen. So now I pray the blessing on each one of you, that although we are not able to gather physically together in this building today, we know that the Holy Spirit is with us to bless us and to help us. We pray that blessing upon each one of you today and ask for God's continued presence with you this day and forevermore, from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.